coming to you live from the studios of AM 1520 KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station. This is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. Call Kim now to share your journey, 805-289-1520. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, and I am your host, Kim Pagano. And if this is your first time joining us here, I welcome you, and I am grateful for you being here. You know, those of you that don't know me, I am a hair therapist in Westlake, and, you know, I've dealt with different people from all over the world for a lot of years, and then I have my show now, and what I do is bring different guests, a variety of guests that are very passionate about what they do. And today I have Roland Reif. Roland is a specialist in acupuncture, functional medicine, using Eastern and Western herbal, natural homeopathy, and vitamins to cater to your individual needs. So welcome.
Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I got Sharon in our studio, Sharon Savidson. You've been with me, and you're like kind of my my right hand now, right?
Tell everybody a little bit
about yourself.
I'm a transformation and life coach, hypnotherapist, do guided imagery, neuro-linguistic programming.
She keeps me on track. Let's just say that. There you go. Well, gosh, we've got a lot that we're going to be talking about today, and we have a lot of great guests that we're going to be talking about. And our first guest is going to be Dr. Wagner, and she's talking about menopause and what men need to know about their wives when they look at them and wonder who they are and what have you done with my wife. Our next guest, I'm really excited to say, we have Marianne Williamson, and she is a spiritual activist and an author and a lecturer, and we're going to be talking about her new book, which is The Law of Divine Compensation on Work, Money, and Miracles, and that is going to be amazing. We also have Helen Chen, and she's an unorthodox matchmaker, and it should be interesting. You know, what's happening is a lot of people are not staying with the people that they love anymore, and over a lot of recession, and she's like, instead of marrying or instead of dating, just get down to marriage. So I'm interested in how she talks about that. Also, Roland, tell everybody what we're going to be talking about with you.
Oh, we're going to talk about, well, the upcoming festivities lead to a lot of eating.
Yes,
and,
they do.
And we're going to talk about eating and how much or how much not to eat.
And it was really interesting when I visited your office. It's interesting, how much food does our body really need? And that's what we're going to be talking about. So stay with us. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I want to give out our phone number here, 805-419-0008. Also, if you miss any part of my show, you can listen on my website at KimPaganoShow.com. Also, you know, become one of our friends on Twitter and on Facebook. My page is Kim Pagano Show. And let me know that you're a listener. And if you've, you know, loved what we're talking about, or if there's something that's bothering you in your life and you need some help with it, I'd love to get a guest on that can help you. So with that, let's be joined right now with Dr. Wagner. And her book is The Fifth Decade. Is it just my life or is it perimenopause? Deborah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. So tell us a little bit about, you know, it's sorting through the emotional unheaval, right, of women and their 40s and 50s?
Right, right. Well, perimenopause is a period of time that precedes menopause by up to 10 years. And very few women and even fewer men really know about it and understand that this isn't just about changing menstrual cycles, but it's really about a changing of the entire personality and moods of a woman, along with, of course, a lot of physiological changes. And people are very confused about what's going on with women and why. So I wrote the book to clarify and explain a lot of the changes that are happening so that people know how to deal with them better.
Now, you know, I mean, mostly if you're in a relationship and all of a sudden you've been this really calm and understanding person and then you kind of start to change, that might be what's going on, correct?
Absolutely.
Roland, you actually, I mean, Roland, I think the last time you were on our show, we talked a little bit about menopause, right?
Yes,
and so men actually go through that too, but it's something that we never used to talk about, and now it's really important to discuss it. And so I thought that, you know, anybody that is struggling with that, I think it's so important to know that some of these things are normal and they can be handled. So what are some of the ways that, you know, one, you would know that you're going through this, but not only that, of some of the ways that we can handle it. And Dr. Wagner, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background.
I'm a psychologist. I'm a developmental psychologist by training, and I have a clinical practice now. I did many years of research with women and children, and now I'm in private practice. And I have a doctorate in psychology, and I saw this area as one that's really not been well represented in the media, and wanted to kind of jump in and research it myself and get the word out there.
This is Sharon. Hi. It really is. You know, we really don't know about it. My daughter turned around to me the other day, and she said to me, "What's the matter with you? Why are you so moody?" And I said, "I think it's menopause." And she said, "Well, how long is that going to last?" And I said, don't hold your breath. Five, you know, we have no idea. But we really don't know a lot about it.
Right. Roland, I know that you work with a lot of women that are going through that, right?
Very much so. And I think as Dr.
Wagner
was pointing out, I guess there's not just a medical approach on medical issues arising. There's a lot of psychology arising out of that change in life.
Right, right. And so what are some of the approaches that people can take, mostly women, but really it affects the whole family, correct?
Absolutely. It affects, as Sharon just said, the kids look at their mothers and they're thinking, you know,
who stole my mother?
Yeah.
You know, why is my mom acting so crazy? And, you know, husbands are thinking, is she interested in somebody else? And, you know, spouses start to argue, and it can really be very disruptive if people don't understand what's behind it and how to manage it.
So when does how do you know you're in perimenopause?
Well, perimenopause starts very subtly. So a woman might notice that her cycles are shifting by a day or two or a little bit heavier. Her PMS might be a little bit worse, or she may have some PMS for the first time. But emotionally, her threshold for tolerating stresses and difficulties starts to come down. So the things that she used to take in stride now feel
overwhelming.
Right.
But if you have teenagers, I mean, that
you already
would kind
feel overwhelming.
Like, well, no,
anyway,
you would attribute it to that. Like you'd say, you know, is it really perimenopause? Or is it just the fact that your life's changed because you now have teenagers?
Yeah, maybe. But, well, what's your thought on that?
Well, in the beginning, that's exactly what happens, that women start to explain it away. Oh, it's because my kids are acting out, or because my husband just doesn't get it that I want him to put his dirty laundry in the hamper, or if I could just once come home from work and find the dishes in the dishwasher. And they don't think that it's something internal. They start to blame it on all of the things outside of their own self. So that's how they really get off track, and that's how they start that whole blame game with their family, which, you know, can become very disruptive.
So what is the age of perimenopause?
It can begin as early as the late 30s.
Oh, really? So not even into your 40s, 50s? So
you know, I was having a conversation with the girlfriends the other night. One of them has gone into menopause, and the other one thinks that she's starting. I think that she was having hot flashes. And we were discussing the time of menopause. The one said menopause doesn't start before 56, and my understanding is menopause can start as early as 49.
Well, she's saying 30 in the
late
30s.
Well, that's perimenopause. Yeah. So that's perimenopause. So how would you know that you've moved from perimenopause into menopause?
Menopause is, it's very easy to know when you're in menopause. Menopause is when you haven't had your period for 1 year. then
oh, okay.
So, and most women do complete menopause before 56. The average is early 50.
Wow. I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, one, I'm so glad that you are here with us. Every Saturday from 2 to 4, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we are talking with Dr. Wagner, and her book is The Fifth Decade. We're talking about perimenopause. We're talking about menopause. We're talking about if any of you men out there as well as women wonder what happened in my life and, you know, and life and wife, right? And, you know, and who, where are you? Our life changes and it's really out of our control. I mean, I know when, you know, when I was going through this and am going through this, I still think I am. I think we all are. You know, why did you name it the fifth decade?
Well, I named it the fifth decade because the fifth decade of life is really a woman in her 40s, and that's when most of the intense symptoms of perimenopause take place.
Right. And does it first start off with the hot flashes?
Actually, no. The hot flashes come in later in the game. The first symptoms are really the emotional symptoms.
What comes after that?
After the emotional symptoms, then you start to get some of the physiological symptoms and an intensifying of the emotional symptoms. In the fifth decade, I actually delineated four stages of perimenopause so that women could really understand where they are and what to expect next.
Can you test? Is there a test that you can do to tell you where you are?
A saliva test, right, Dr. Roland?
There's definitely hormone tests, saliva tests, or blood tests to measure your hormones. And your follicular stimulating hormone, FSH, indicates how far into menopause you actually are.
Do you have to do it at a specific time of the month?
Yes, it would be helpful. Definitely, when you have the symptoms, then you can actually measure the hormone imbalance while you have the major emotional symptoms or physical symptoms at that. Can I ask you a question, Dr. Wagner? What, in your opinion, what does it actually signify? What change in life, since you call it the fifth decade, in your opinion, what does that signify in a woman's life? What change is required for that emotional change, that emotional turmoil to actually subside or take a change or make a change in life? What does it signify?
Well, for different women, there are different issues that come up. For some women, there might be a turning point in their marital relations, and some women it may become, I need to start living my life for me. They might feel less inclined to nurture and do for others.
Isn't that more of a normal thing? Because, I feel like I've got four children, and as I kind of check them off and they get older, it's like, okay, I'm done with this job. I mean, you're never done being a mom, but it's my turn. Is that called menopause?
Well, you know something? What the point you raise is really fascinating because estradiol is one of the three major estrogens that women produce. And in perimenopause, this estrogen drops off significantly. Now, this one estrogen has been shown in research to be responsible for women's need to nurture. So it doesn't mean that when you lose your estradiol, you never want to take care of anybody. But when you say natural, and perimenopause is a natural transition, but yes, it is natural partially because your hormonal levels are changing. So men don't have the same inclination to nurture for women because they're not chock full of estradiol. But when women's estradiol starts to run down, and for most women that coincides with the period of time when their children are getting older, it comes together in a wonderful way where the kids need them less, but they need to nurture less.
Right. And do you think that that's the same for men? Because you know, our kids are all getting older, and my husband feels like maybe he's not needed anymore. Do you ever, I mean, Roland, did you go through that with your kids? Or?
I did go through andropause, so to say. It was actually just right after my divorce, and I blamed the divorce on my emotional state, which then later on, half a year into it, it didn't change, and found out it was hormonally conditioned as such. But we, on the other hand, actually become, or should become, the more nurturing part versus a woman, I think, like Dr. Wagner's indicating, feels less need to nurture. And I think it comes also from the phase in life where you lose your fertility as such, and therefore you don't need to nurture that much. On man, on the other hand, we our estrogen goes higher and our testosterone goes lower. So we lose our manlyhood as we know it and don't quite know what to do with that. What we should do, I think, as we get older, become gentler and become more of a caregiver function versus prior we were more out there hunting and providing on a physical level.
That's interesting, yeah. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, you deal with a lot of women. Do you deal with couples since you're a psychologist?
Yes, and I also deal with a lot of men, and I totally agree. You know, we kind of switch roles a little bit. Women's testosterone levels are relatively higher, while their estrogen levels are lower, and men's, as Roland said, is the opposite. So we're finally meeting in the middle once we get into our later 40s and 50s.
I have a short joke from my ex-relationship. My ex-wife went through menopause relatively early, and it certainly changed my life, and including hers. In midst of things, I was saying to my ex-wife, I said, honey, I'm going to start a support group for this menopause thing, because I was all new at it. And she was all enamored and said, oh, this is so kind. This is great. And I said, yeah, that will be great, because I will get all the men together with all their women in menopause, and I will get that support group going for all the guys.
For the guys. Yeah. and it's a really hard time in our lives. I mean, I know with, you know, my girlfriends, we always say, God, what happened to our husbands, you know? I mean, as well as it could be us at the same time. So what are some of the offer us some tips that you have learned through your practice?
For the men or for the women?
Both. Yes.
For the men, and I want to point out that in the fifth decade, I wrote an entire section directly to the men.
I think that's so important.
Thank you. And I wanted to, you know, in not too much gory detail, because I know that men don't like to know all of the absolute details, but, you know, teach them what women go through in perimenopause. Teach them how to support her. Teach them how to take care of themselves at the same time, and how to address these issues with their women. So for men, basically the formula, as I call it in the book, for success is be supportive, understand that she's as unhappy with this situation as he is, learn how to communicate even though it may not be that comfortable, try, you know, care about her even when she's not her best self, and try to relate to the empathy. I mean, men have not suffered mood swings like this, so it's hard for them to really empathize, but that's what women really respond to. You know, hold her, snuggle her, put your arms around her, and as I'm sure Roland can vouch for this, you know, stroking is a wonderfully calming situation for women, because it actually releases a hormone called oxytocin, which is a stress-relieving hormone that will help a woman calm down. So stroke her on her arm, on her hair. You know, it's not sexual.
But, you know, it's interesting. A lot of times, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but there's times there where you feel like your skin's crawling. You don't want anybody near you. So how do you do that when you feel like that?
Well, that goes under the communication formula. You know, they really have to be openly talking about what she needs and what she doesn't. And those times where you really feel that just get away from me feeling, she can say to her husband, to her children, right now I need to be left alone, but if you really want to help me, could you get dinner on the table for me or call in for a pizza so I don't have to worry about it.
Right. Make reservations, and right?
But communicating your needs, it's about asking for what you
want,
need.
Right?
You say that.
You
know, ask for what you need.
Right. And anybody that's just joining us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm here with Roland Reeve. I'm here with Sharon Savitson, and we're talking with Dr. Wagner. And her book is The Fifth Decade, and it's all about, you know, perimenopause and menopause and really just finding out how to communicate through our relationship and through this time of our life. So
do we ever go back to normal?
Oh,
is there life after menopause?
Good question.
Absolutely. As we get through perimenopause and finish menopause, we do return to even better sometimes than we were before perimenopause started. And, you know, and I want to point out that in the worst of perimenopause, because the hormones are vacillating so wildly and so quickly, I mean, you can have hormonal changes within hours during a day. And that's what drives a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, moodiness, explosions of temper, depression. All of that settles down once we get into the fourth stage of perimenopause, which I name quietude. And we really do feel that the storm is over. We can start to define a new self, who we want to be now in this new phase of life. And it's really a very calming, quieting exit from what was a very turbulent storm.
Can you talk a little bit about weight gain?
Oh, yeah. We didn't even touch on that. Dr. Wagner, we're going to have to definitely have you back because there's so much more to talk about. But talk about the weight gain from menopause, because that's definitely a huge problem. If you've never had a weight problem, and Roland, I know you're going to be able to, you know, highlight us on this too, but, you know, what is that? Is it just your hormones change and you know, our shapes change?
Well, if you remember when we all went through puberty, we all had these, you know, boxy rectangular figures. There was no indent in our waist and no curve in our hips. And when our shape started to form into the more curvy hourglass shape, that was because of the influx of estrogen. So when the estrogen starts to disappear, we lose that hourglass figure, and we start to gain a lot of weight around the midsection especially. So, you know, this is not a reflection on are you eating well or exercising. Every woman is going to thicken around the middle at this time. So I say, you know, definitely eat right, keep in shape, but understand that our bodies are changing. We're becoming older women, and we don't have the hormones that we once did, and accept it.
Accept it. That's not what we wanted to hear, Dr. Wagner. I'm sorry.
Love
to
yourself
tell
you. Anyway.
Yeah,
you know, just love yourself for who you are.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You know, if you look at the men who are, whatever you want to call it, andropause or menopause, the men in their 50s, as their estrogen levels are coming up and their testosterone levels are coming down, as Roland mentioned before, the men start to get a lot of tissue in their breasts. Their bellies start to round out, and they're not looking any more youthful than we are.
Oh, it's
right? So, you know, I mean,
this is very, very true. You know what, son? I still don't understand why they call it the golden years, right? I just don't. I think when, you know, but you got to embrace it, and that's what it's all about, embracing your life. And, you know, now, who would benefit from reading your book? Obviously, both men and women, correct?
Right. And I would like to see younger women starting to read about this, women in their middle to late 30s, so that they're not so unprepared as changes start to happen.
I think that's really wise. I want to give out the name of your book. It's called The Fifth Decade. It is just my life, or is it perimenopause, sorting through the emotional upheaval of women in their 40s and 50s. And that's Deborah R. Wagner. And where do we find your book?
The book you can find on the online bookstores. You can get it in e-version. It's in many physical bookstores. If they don't have it, they can order it for you, or you can go on to thefifthdecade.com and order it directly. And if you want a signed copy, I would be happy to send you a signed copy. And
perfect. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Wagner. I appreciate it. I'm sure we've got lots more questions. And if anybody out there wants to get in touch with Dr. Wagner, just give me a call at 805-419-0008. Thank you so much for being a guest.
Oh, thank you.
All right. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're going to take a really quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Helen Chan, and we're going to talk about she is the unorthodox matchmaker. And so we'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until, that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on News Talk 1520
KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And we've been talking about menopause, but now we're going to talk about relationships. I've got my next guest, which is Helen Chan, and she will be joining us. But she is an unorthodox matchmaker, and Helen Chan advises less dating and helps couples to get married faster. And she tackles the very problem of why more and more men and women have given up finding their perfect match. So if you're interested in finding a little bit more about, give me a call at 805-419-0008. And you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Let's bring on Helen. Helen, are you there?
Yes. Hi. How are you, Kim?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Very wonderful.
Very good. So you're over there making matchmaking for everybody around the world. You're actually you're called the matchmaker of the century, correct?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
How did you become a matchmaker?
Well, I actually like to mind the people's business very much, and I'm very interested to see people happy, and I see people have a good relationship that touch me. I'm thinking that's the most value of one of the things you live in the world. You want to have a good relationship, and you enjoy life.
Right. You know, I mean, there is nothing better than having a partner. You know, yes. I always call it like a team.
The right partner.
The right partner. There you go. Okay. From a couple divorces here, and I've been divorced, and you're absolutely right. I mean, a lot of people are afraid to get into a relationship because how do you know it's going to be the right one? But you have to jump in to find some of the right people, right? Or else you're never going to know
exactly.
anything.
Yes, I mean, the reason people fear about it is because they have a dating, and then they see a lot of bad example, and then they hurt. But then that's not because of that. You worry about it, or you're scared about it. You should actually to go to see how you can really enjoy. And the most important thing is know yourself first.
That's
so don't worry about, you know, finding the perfect one. I mean,
you
no
just
thing.
Hit it on the nose, Helen. And anybody that's just joining us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We've got Roland Reef in here and Sharon Savidson, and we're talking to Helen Chan right now. She is the matchmaker of the century. That's your book, in fact, right?
Yes.
But you do. You have to know yourself, and so many people kind of fit into other people's molds, and therefore, you know, 7 years down the road, you find out that's not really what you want to do. Oh, wait a minute. You're not interested in material. You like to be more in your, you know, I mean, that's kind of what I find that's happening, correct?
Yes.
You know, I always say that we attract the level of energy that we resonate on. So when you say, why am I not attracting a specific person, you have to look to yourself first to see where you are, know yourself, know what you want, know where you're going. You know, what I find interesting is how women will date and they always talk about, well, he didn't call me, he didn't do. But in actual fact, if you had to really sit down with them, they're not even sure that they want the person. Do you know what I'm saying?
So
yes,
true.
Definitely.
It's like, yes. You decide whether you want the person or not before you're sitting waiting to be the victim of whether he wants you or not.
So true.
Yeah, you have to go on and then you know yourself what you want. And when you see something you like or it's feeding you, and you actually very aggressively get into it, and then you try the most, the best that you could to keep it. I mean, a lot of time people don't have a problem to fall in love, but then they have a problem
right.
to keep it. And
right.
then you have to know how to build it up. But then the most is know yourself. You see, just like what Kim said, you know, fake it till you make it, you know. But then the thing is that you really, really have to work on it. Don't thinking about it just going to fall down on the sky so easy.
And Helen, also, don't you find that people are always talking about what the person does or doesn't do for you instead of what you can do for them? Like, people
yes.
want to be the recipient. They don't want to be the, you know, I'll say to people, spend a week and just see what you can do to make the other person happy. You'll see
yeah.
the energy change.
You have the same idea of I have. It's like a, how you can give.
Right.
I mean, to love somebody is a technique, is a talent, is an ability. Not like a just, okay, you know, see what I can get. Well, you know, you're
right.
at home, you're going to be lonely.
There you go. And, you know, my mom always said this, you know, is we work so hard at our businesses and our careers, and sometimes we lack at working at our marriages and our relationships. And if we put that much energy into it, it could only be great.
Exactly. I always say when you off, you know, you take off from your job, you get on home, that's the time, you know, you start working on another post. It's like that's a job to do.
Helen,
and you have to enjoy.
Are you married?
Yes, of course.
Okay, and you work hard on your marriage?
Oh, yeah, I'm so happy with my husband.
and so what do you think the secret is? I mean, you know, did you know who you were when you were married? Is that who it, do you
yes.
think that's the secret?
Yeah, it's just a post, like what I say, it's a job. So when you go to work, you know, it doesn't matter you're a reporter or you're an engineer or whatever the job you have. When you go home, you have to be really care. But then the character is different. You are a wife or your husband. You have to know how to behave as one.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know how to, like, you know, not to be cute and dress nice or, like, you know, really a sweet talking. And then you have to care, not the person. Not like you come home because your wife automatically everything runs out the way you want it.
Now, so I always thought if you have a good marriage, you don't have to work hard on it. It should just kind of fall into place. Is that a myth?
No, you don't just like, okay, take it as granted. You have to be every day still very cute, still like you actually fall in love. Like what I say, you don't date before you marry. You date after you marry.
You know,
I
Helen,
like
you know what I found when I look at successful marriages, what I think are successful marriages, that people have a respect for each other. They
That's
actually
right.
respect each other and they have a friendship. And it actually doesn't seem like it's difficult because they want to be together. Like when you have a friend, you want to be with your friend.
Yeah.
So
there's a
yeah.
difference when you're choosing somebody.
Well, when you choose somebody, you are actually because you want somebody like when you want a serving, you don't want a looking somebody to go to climb the mountain. And that's what you mean about choosing somebody, not because you so criticize them for what their habits and everything.
Right.
You know, you want to choose somebody have the same direction with you. And when you go to that direction,
right.
you enjoy. But then you have to take in care of. You
right.
have to contribute. You have to actually be cute and build up the relationship. Not like you're doing nothing. But then why are you doing this? Actually, you enjoy. And that's really the trick.
Now, here's a question. Okay, so you get married, you're young, and you think you have the same ideas, and so maybe you grow apart. What's your thought on that?
Well, you have to be actually communicate. That was
mm-hmm.
the really important. You communicate almost like every day. You don't wait until 3 months and 3 years, and then you say, well, we are not feeding each other. That was not really true. You actually missing the communication points. A lot of things you don't say. A lot of things you postpone for tomorrow and then, you know, after next month. You forget about it. You don't take in care about it. You should like a very excited like you're dating every day. That is the real trick.
Mm-hmm.
I feel still fall in love after 20 years.
Wow.
So, Helen, I'm curious. I'm single. So if I wanted you to matchmake me, how would I go about doing that? What would I do if I was, I am single, but for those single people out there, how would we get you to find us the perfect partner?
Okay, the first thing is that you have a checklist. You know exactly what is the most things important for you in the girl in the life. And then you be yourself.
The non-negotiables. The non-negotiables, right? The top, five, whatever, non-negotiables.
What are the top that you find working with people?
Well, the most important, you need to know, where you want to live. Because a lot of time, people just find somebody from another country and then they're so attractive.
Right.
And they have a love affair, that's not what you want. You want to focus. You want to focus on somebody come to your life who want to marry you. You don't want to be somebody who want to date you. No.
Now,
you want to fall in love with somebody who want to date you the rest of your life.
Right. Now, Helen, in one of your books, you actually talk about getting married before you establish your career, correct?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you want to have everything together, and you don't want to be because of a job, I postpone the marriage, or because of marriage, I don't have a career. You do it at the same time, because you don't want to be 26 again, right? It's impossible. You don't want 17 again. So life is once you go for that year together. So you want to have somebody want to work with you together, and to do this, you have to know yourself first. So you have your checklist. You want to climb mountain or you want to surfing. And then you know the other person comes. Oh, you want to climb mountain too? Okay, let's go together. And then it's very easy once you just get on the ride, right? But then the most important is that when you date, you already know you want to marry. You don't want to be date and for the just try. And then that you're wasting all your time. That's why people date for 3 years, 5 years, and they still not marry. And after 10 years, they're changing 3 boyfriends or 3 girlfriends, and then they're wasting 10 years.
Wow. And so do you think that marriage needs money?
No, you don't need the money. Because when in the love, in the subject of love, there's no condition. And that's why people become making so complicated. You see, when you're 17, you fall in love. You don't think that much about money. And then when you're 37, you fall in love. You're thinking all about money. But then that's the wrong direction. You see, when you fall in love with somebody, you don't fall in love with the money. You don't fall in love with him because he has the money. You fall in love, and that is the thing that people start thinking something else, what is your job? What is your salary? How many house do you have? What kind of car do you drive?
But it's
interesting. Already wrong direction.
Because I hear men say, and obviously this has been their experience with women that they've dated, is how the women are looking to be taken care of. And so they have a fear of that. It's like they'll say, I don't want to take care of somebody else. I don't want to be doing that. They have women that go after, look at them and go, wow, you're a good catch. You know what? I want to be taken care of.
And that's a turnoff for men, correct?
Sure, yes. That's a scary
men
moment.
Men hate that. Men wanted somebody to work with them. So it's important to marry, when somebody wants to ask you to marry, you should really nod your head and go and try and go for it. Instead of just wait, and after that, it's all become physical. It's become materialism. It's see what kind of car you drive. So you get the wrong direction. Because when we fall in love, we don't see that.
Helen, you know what's interesting? I was having a conversation with somebody. I haven't met this person yet. And he turned around and he said, I'm looking for someone that's nice. But don't you think that's an interesting comment? I mean, what are the women out there are obviously not that nice. They're obviously, because nice is an interesting word. It's kind of like women are not showing up as being nice. They're obviously just showing up as being go-getters, or I want something, or
Well, there's a lot of power women nowadays, correct?
Yes.
And I think that times have changed. And at the same time, I feel like I'm a pretty strong person, but I like to have my place in my home as my husband being the more powerful one. And I think women have forgotten that.
Okay, what you say is very true. You want to be in the female shoes. But then the thing is, you could be a success as you could be. You could make as much money you want. You can be a superwoman, but you have to understand when you come to men, you're not it's just superwoman or CEO or the executive. You want to be a wife. You can have a both. See, when you go to work, you be a superwoman. And when you come home, you're just a wife. And
so,
then that's just very easy part. If you know the idea of the post, then you know when to do what, and you'll be fine.
So you're saying those aggressive women need to have the need to be feminine as well. You cannot just be very aggressive with men.
Yes. You don't want to be same as men because no any man want to marry a man, right?
Mm-hmm. Roland, any thoughts on this?
I think I stay right out of that one here.
So the thing is that you can be so strong. Men appreciate you be so strong and make a lot of money. But as long as you don't come home and then thinking he's your employer or something, you know, or like, you know, he's your staff, you know, or your junior. You don't talk like that. You're talking like a so cute, you're just a princess.
So, Helen, you know, so you deal with a lot of couples, and when a man comes to you, what are they looking for?
They're looking for the woman who understands them, and then they want to be a woman and enjoy, have fun with them, you know, being cute. That's most important.
Wow. And when a woman comes to you, what are they looking for?
They wanted the men that actually can talk to them, and actually they want to be sweet talker. They wanted them to love them and care for them. You see, not every woman just have to believe like a, you know, great material and drive Mercedes. Mm-hmm. It's not really true. A lot of women just enjoy it at home, and then not so much like everything, you know, very good stuff. It's like just if you love me, I can go through any, you know, thick and thin with you, and that's important.
So, Helen, if somebody was, you know, single and they're listening right now and they want to try to get back into having a relationship, what are some of the keys that you would recommend for them?
I will ask them to be honest, see what they really want in life, and then what is their checklist. And then they just go for the checklist, and then they see the guy who's serious and then fit their checklist, and then they marry.
But now, there, you know, I know a lot of friends that say it's hard to find somebody. Do they meet them through you? Do they meet them through other people? What's the best way to be able to, you know, meet nice people?
You have to every day, you know, dress up right and talk right and go anywhere you could be, but it just naturally meet people, and the luck will come. Because a lot of people is just thinking too much. You know, they go to bar, they go to everything. I mean, they're all fine. But the important thing is when the right guy comes, they don't pick them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has chance, but then they miss the chance. Because when the chance really comes, they start to confuse, they start to doubt, and they start to question the people and then throw them off.
You know, Helen, I think it's also important to be honest with yourself about whether you really are available or not. Like, I know, you know, I've been raising my kids. And that's what's been important to me. I mean, I'm right at the end of it now. Like, my son's going to go to college in 6 months. And I, you know, I've been building my, you know, working and building my business and everything since they haven't needed me as much. But I think it's important to say, you know, yes, I'm available, or no, I'm not available, instead of giving the universe mixed messages.
Well, you have to be, at the same time, open your heart.
Right.
Because a lot of people just come to your life. They don't mind. You have kids. And then they love to, you know, to be a family with you. But you don't want to miss that, because a lot of women, a lot of men, they focus on what they have now, even job or their children, or they just even don't thinking they want to look about it. And then when they want to, it's kind of late.
Right.
Actually, a lot of people passing you, they fall in love with you and you miss.
Right.
So you think there's a lot of people that you don't end up with because you weren't ready, you didn't have your list together, you kind of missed them?
Yes, you definitely miss them, because you see, since we're in elementary school, they already start. And then you have to have a high school, and then you go to college. Plenty of people, and then when you work, you know, your customer, your every friend, your neighbors, I mean, plenty of people, but you miss and miss and miss. And when the right guy comes and you date, you fall in love, and then you're just thinking so much different things, and then you miss again, and then you just keep going missing the time. That's why we get old. So the most important is why I want to tell everybody, you know, plenty of people love you, but you have to open your heart to actually, you know, try and then really get them, and whoever want to marry, okay, that is your good prospect.
Wow. And how many people have you fixed up?
50 couples.
50. And are these people that are first-time marriage or divorcees or...
I have a people divorced 3 times. I have a people first time. I have a people in the age of 18. I have a people in the age of over 50. But then the important part is, you see, the one I'm matching is the one they don't want to marry. And that's why it's so difficult. Because the people who can easily want to marry is even not my prospect. I always marry the people who don't want to marry.
Why would they not want to get married?
They very hurt, they don't believe, they very negative about relationship.
because they are single family, come up, grow up, or they are seeing the family fighting, the parents, not good relationship, or they see so many people divorced, and then they are already broken. So basically, they already wounded before they actually marry. They don't believe in love. So I have to tell them, you know, there is really love, and then they once try, and now they have a baby, and then they believe me.
So do you think that they hold a lot in? I mean, how do you get them through that hurt so that they are open for a relationship?
Well, they decide in their heart, right? Deep inside their heart. See, since we was young, we all want to fall in love. See? So you have the desire. You have a dream about your own family. See, you want to be a man actor, man actress. You want to be household. You want to be a wife. You want to be fall in love. You want to be prince. You want to be princess. So it's very important that dream still in your heart. Because I see so many people, they're missing the time. And when they're 50, they still come to me to say, please, now I want to marry. And please help me. See, at the end, the people still want to have a kid. At the end, the people still want to fall in love. So why don't you do now until you regret too long, you know?
Right. And I really think, you know, I'm really spiritual. And I think, you know, Sharon, Roland, what we always talk about is really putting it out there what you really want.
Right.
And so many people have this huge fence up. And, you know, we've got a recession right now. People think, oh, I don't have enough money to be in a relationship. There's so many things that you can find to prevent you from being in a relationship. But no, have you realized that or have you noticed a lot of people are getting more divorces now?
Well, if people divorce, it's because they're already frustrated and then they not communicate and then they cannot fix it. But the finance has nothing to do with the relationship. See, when you can live yourself, 1 + 1 is greater than 2. So it's very important if you can live alone, 2 of you can live even better. And then that you need somebody to encourage you, you need somebody to help in as a cooperate, as a team. The team always do better than single. So it's like a two hand cannot really do too many things. So if you marry, it's better for finance because the relationship will making you to do better. You see, we all know by statistic, the single man making less than the people who marry. So the people who has a relationship, it doesn't matter man or woman, they have a more income. This is statistic. So it's very important you have somebody to support you, somebody encourage you, somebody goes through this hardship with you instead of you alone. So it's like you're too sad, you know. You don't want to be alone, especially financial difficulty. Now you all more want to have a relationship.
Right. So it's and, you know, there's even facts that even older people, if they have somebody that lives with them, they actually live longer, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many facts. So how do we go about building and making our list? And then we'll leave it at that so that and we'll find out how to get in touch with you.
And that's why you come to the honest, right? Like if you really, really like to climb mountain, you don't lie to people say who want to go to serving. You say, yeah, I like that too. But then you hate water.
Mm-hmm.
But then why you don't say so from the beginning, right? And then you pretend. And then finally you fall in love. And then, you know, this guy just keep going, want to marry you. And then, okay, you marry him. And after 3-7 years, and you say, I'm sorry, we don't work it out. Because you are not honest.
Right.
You see, it's very important to say, honest at what you want to do. If you want to work, when you date him at the first day, you should tell him, I'm a crazy working woman.
Right.
I love to work. Don't hide it. You see? And
absolutely.
You dress up, and you don't dress up because you're dating. You dress up the way you want to dress.
Be
so he
who
don't
you,
see you wrong.
Right.
Absolutely.
Helen, you know what? You are so, that is so true. Be who you are so
yes.
that you can reflect what's going to be in the rest of your life.
Yes. Because doesn't matter how you dress, there's a man comes. You know, you dress sporty.
Absolutely.
And people like the sporty woman, then they fall in love with you. And you like to be elegant. You dress your high shoes. And then woman, this man sees you, oh, so attractive and sexy. Because everyone has somebody to
absolutely.
Be fit with you. You see, this big world, there's all kinds of clubs, all kinds of different people. You want to riding the horse, you want to swimming, there's always people.
Right, Sharon,
you know, often
ahead.
Women don't know who they are. I go, how do you show up? Are you, you know, I say, what animal are you? How does that animal present itself? Or flower, whatever it is. Decide who you are and how that person shows up.
So
make your, yeah.
And the same for men, too.
Right.
You have to be know what you want.
Exactly.
And then you have to know who you are. Yep. You see, independent the person making the best relationship.
Right.
If you are not independent and then you want to depend on another person, that's the real problem
right.
caused the relationship a crisis. Mm-hmm. So the most important is if you're independent. So be independent while you're single. And then when you find another person so independent, you guys will work out so beautiful.
Right.
I love it. Where do we find you, Helen?
Well, you find me in my book, The Matchmaker of the Century, and then you find .com, you will find me.
And what are we going to learn from your book?
Well, we're going to talking about how you find yourself, and then you're going to know the true story of the people I actually guide through and counsel through. And all these people has all different story, different kind of personality, different kind of why they don't want to get into relationship, and I have a true story, and then they're all in the book.
Wow, I love it. I love it. You got lots of energy, and I love your passion for matchmaking. So thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Chan. Enjoyed talking to you, and thank you so much for me to have this chance to be here with you guys.
You got it. All right.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting when, you know, you're going through a divorce, right? Or you've gone through,
I have
through,
gone through a
right.
divorce. It's now six
and,
years.
And how did you go about, I mean, you weren't ready right away, correct?
To go back, I am in a relationship, and I have to say, Helen has a lot of good points. It's don't make it complicated. State to the facts. State what you want and go after what you want. I think she points it out. It doesn't have to be complicated. We do make it complicated, including myself, I have to say. We definitely complicate the relationship game.
Right. And I think that is, so many people have masks on. And because they're trying to find somebody, but if they just look inside, you know, I always call it close your eyes and look inside. And even if you're in a relationship, you know, you can't keep changing all these colors because that's what confuses a relationship, even, you know, as a partner.
Well, it sounds like Helen was not particularly into test driving a relationship.
This is so true.
She said, first buy the car and then learn how to drive it later. I think we, at least I grew up the other way. It's like, first see if the car drives well and then maybe consider, you know, ending up with that.
You know, I think there's a lot of judgment and that's the problem. And when we talk to Marianne, you'll hear her talk about this. But people are so judgmental. I have met amazing people on my journey and each one brings something to the table. You know, whether it's a minute or a period of time, but just to be open and non-judgmental of who is in front of you instead of having an agenda. I think people set out with a specific agenda of instead of just really, you know, enjoying the person's company and just seeing whether your values are aligned.
And the other thing, you know, when I was single is, you know what, go along your life as you would
right.
live it. Don't go out there looking for it. Look for, you know, look for different things that you already love doing, and then you're going to end
right.
up meeting it. So with that, I'm really excited. Our next guest is Marianne Williamson, and she is the author of Return to Love. But this book is The Law of Divine Compensation on Work, Money, and Miracles. And Sharon, she was just over at Westlake Center for Spirit.
She was
amazing. Right.
You know what? She is just the most incredible role model, I have to tell you.
But you said she's very low-key.
She's just so
she
humble.
Is who she is.
She's, you know, and she's very well-known for those of you that don't know
her.
Oh,
my God, yes,
she
definitely.
She has been around for a very long time, and she is very, very well-known.
Definitely.
You know, she does The Course in Miracles. She'll tell us all about that. But I have to tell you, she has a strength about her that is just so humble. You can feel the love, and she's like the girl next door.
There you go. I love it. She's a spiritual activist. She's an author. She's a lecturer. And she's the founder of the Peace Alliance. And she, you know, it's interesting because I really think this all kind of goes together in what you put out to the universe.
No question. She'll talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we'll have Marianne Williamson on. And again, I'm so glad that you are here. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Our phone number here is 805-419-0008. We'll be right back.